Hi, this is Pastor Paul Chappell here on the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. I'm excited about the podcast ministry and the thousands of viewers and listeners who are hearing the Word of God through the ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church. Today we'll hear a special guest speaker whose message will be an inspiration to your Christian life. Thank you for being a growing Christian, and may God richly bless you today.
Tonight, I want to talk to you a little bit here. I know you're in the middle of stewardship, and I want to talk to you on the matter of the stewardship of our heart. And I want to challenge you on some things here. And so if I could encourage you, please, to stand together for the reading of the Word of God. And we'll pick up here in Luke chapter 12, verse 13. And I'll read down to verse 21 and then have a word of prayer. Bible says here in Luke 12, verse 13, "And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And Jesus said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed, and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto them, Thou fool. Sorry, God said unto him, Thou fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much this evening. Our Lord, again, as was sung, for your grace, your mercy, and your love, we thank you that you just reached down and saved us according to your will and according to your wonderful power. Heavenly Father, we pray tonight, as we meet in your house, as we've opened the Word of God, that first of all, we want to please you tonight. We want everything that we do to be edifying to you, to be glorifying to you. Lord, we ask that you please give the Holy Spirit to us in a special way, that you'd give us liberty. I pray, Lord, you just give me a calmness, and Lord, just open up the Scriptures afresh to us tonight. May the power of God be sensed in every way. May we leave this place different from how we've come in. And Lord, again, we just seek to please you. We thank you so much. We gather here in your name tonight because you first loved us. And Lord, we praise you for that and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Praise the Lord. This passage of Scripture is so rich with so many different things here, not just pertaining to the matter of money. And as I said, I want to talk to you tonight about the stewardship of our heart. If you understand the Scriptures and what's happening here in Luke chapter 12, the Lord Jesus is, if you were to look there in verse 1, he is confronted with an innumerable multitude. A multitude, a crowd, a throng of people, all there for different reasons. Following on from the end of chapter 11, there are those who are there to question him, and the Pharisees in verse 53 and verse 54 of chapter 11 are wanting nothing else but to trick him, to find some fault with him and to accuse him. We come to chapter 12 and we no doubt understand that in a crowd of any substance of size, there are always those there with a pure motive and there are always those there with a not so pure motive. And what we find as we come to chapter 12 and verse 13 is that we have the first interruption by one of this company that's mentioned in this chapter with a motive that's not so pure. To look at it at the outset, in verse 13, we see what seems to just be an ordinary question, perhaps a reasonable question, perhaps a question we ourselves might have asked the Lord in the past, or maybe even tonight would be asking him. It's a question that has to do with an inheritance. And isn't it always interesting when money gets involved, how quickly that can work on things, the type of questions we ask, the matter of the heart with which we ask it. And this man comes to Jesus, and I think about the picture of what's happening here. I truly wonder how many other people asked questions at this time, yet God has chosen to record this specific one. As you know, that as I'm sure that as the Lord Jesus was walking through the multitude here, there wouldn't have been just one voice that was asking for his attention. There would have been many. But yet it is this one that we have chosen by God to be recorded in the scriptures here for our edification and for our learning. And he asked the Lord Jesus a simple question, and he says, "Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me." And I want you to notice, before we even get to the first point, the Lord Jesus simply turns to him and he says, "Man, man, who made me a judge and divider over you?" And immediately that strikes me to think of the relationship that's between this man and the one who we call the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. When Jesus calls him man, it kind of reminds me of Matthew chapter 7, when in that day many shall say, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name?" And he shall say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." It would almost illustrate to me that the relationship between this one who is calling him master would seem only to be calling him master because perhaps he wants something. And I wonder if you've ever done that or been guilty of it, as I have, sad to say, perhaps gone to the master for a reason that is not altogether pure, probably because we want something. This man seems to have come to Jesus and he's called him master, and he said, please, would you talk to my brother and talk to him about this matter of the inheritance? He's trying to get Jesus on side. He's asking him to look upon him favorably for this thing that he wants. And I love the Lord. Of course, he doesn't look at us badly for just wanting things. He understands. He remembers our frame. But this man no doubt comes to Jesus, and his motives are not altogether pure. We see that in verse 15 with Jesus' response, and we look at it. And that's the first point I want to talk to you about tonight in this stewarding of the heart, is that Jesus begins by examining the heart. I love the fact that with the Lord Jesus, whenever it is that we would ask a question or perhaps desire a thing of him, the Lord Jesus, because he's God, is able to see past all the peripheral things, perhaps the way we would present something or the type of words we would use to ask the question. And he looks through all of that and he goes straight into the heart. I'm sure you are in your culture here, as we are. We have certain polite niceties that we use when we're in the company of people. And they're good. I don't discourage you from using those. And we have certain things that we will do in the company of certain people. And I love the fact with the Lord Jesus that when people come to him, perhaps with an impure motive or perhaps thinking that they could somehow fool the Son of God, he looks straight past all of that and he examines the heart. And I think if we were to begin to look at this matter of stewardship tonight, we must first examine our own heart. This is where the Lord Jesus would start with us. He would look past all of the things, and as we sit here in church tonight, whether it be here in this very auditorium, whether it be in the church that God is allowing me to pastor in Brisbane, Australia, I believe as we come into the church house, God would be examining the hearts of his people. It's not necessarily the matter of how much we bring with us or if it came to an offering time, the total substance of what we bring, but the Lord is looking upon the hearts of his people. This man came. He asked a question. It seemed innocent enough. I'm sure compared to some of the other questions asked, it wasn't rude. It didn't seem impolite. It didn't seem unreasonable. Yet the Lord Jesus looks through it and he examines the heart. Look in verse 15 what Jesus says. He said unto them, the company that is, he says, "Take heed and beware of covetousness." Now you might have been sitting there or standing there that afternoon and thinking, "What? Lord, he's just come and he said, would you ask the brother to share the inheritance with me? That doesn't seem to be greedy. That seems to be fair and reasonable." But the Lord Jesus simply turns and he says, "Take heed, beware of covetousness." In other words, he's saying, watch out and make sure that when you ask me for something, the reason you ask me for it is pure. The reason that you ask me for what it is you want is for the right reasons. And I would say tonight, of course, for the glory of God. I appreciate this church. And again, as I said in my introduction, I appreciate Pastor Chappell so much, because as I look at him and observe him often from afar, I know that as he leads this church into a campaign on stewardship and as he talks to you about the extension of this facility here and all the things that have to happen, I know that he wants it for the glory of God's sake. And I appreciate that so much. And you have to understand how much that encourages me from afar. To see a man of God who is not afraid to stand before his people and to say, listen, we want to keep going forward for the glory of God's sake. I believe you have a pastor who does not want recognition for self or a larger ministry so he can be known, but purely so that more of these people in this city here can be reached with the gospel. So that more students can come and train and learn and go forth with the gospel and reach more for Christ. I think that is a pure motive. And I appreciate that so much. But again, I bring you to this attention that when the Lord Jesus would examine us, he always examines our motives. James chapter 4 and verse 3 says, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. I wonder if the reason why so many of us have unanswered prayer is because we ask with the wrong motive in mind. You see, it may not be that we ask for the wrong thing. It may simply be that we ask with the wrong motive in mind. I remember when I was 12 years old that my parents took me on a cruise throughout the South Pacific. We went on one of those cruise ships. We had 2 weeks there. We had a wonderful time. And at the well-wise age of 12 years old, I met a young lady who was a similar age to me, Pastor, and I was smitten. And this is not good. My wife's here, I just realized. But I was smitten with this other 12-year-old girl. And you know, I remember going back to my room. I was saved, but I remember going back to my room and you know, praying this altogether wise prayer. Now, Lord, I've met the woman I'm going to marry. And I was praying all these things. This girl was not a Christian, and I've never seen her again to this day. At least I don't think I have. And if I had, No, honey, I definitely haven't, all right? But I remember praying these things and thinking, well, Lord, you know, and I meant it. I mean, I meant it with all my heart. But I'm so glad God in heaven was saying, just wait till you grow up a little bit. I'm so glad, because as I look back at it now, I think, oh, what an idiot. Like, I think, what was I thinking? But it's true. You see, when our heart is touched with something, oh, it can get carried away so quickly. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And I think what the Lord is speaking of here, before we make a practical point for us here tonight, is he's examining the heart because, really, brethren, that's where it all starts. Look down here in verse 19. I'll jump ahead and come back with you. This rich man who had much, you see, the problem with him was in the heart, it was in the soul. He thought within himself and he said to his soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. You see, his heart was convinced and even conditioned a certain way. And the Lord had to, as we come to point two, Jesus exposes our foolishness. And so when Jesus examined the heart of this man who was asking the question, he now goes to give a parable, and don't you love it with the Lord Jesus when one asked him a question, he so often answered with a question? As one came to him and asked him a question and perhaps wanted something as this man did, Jesus just simply turned and returned fire, asked another question back. And of course, we know when the Lord Jesus asks a question, it's not because he needs to know the answer. He knows it already. But he asked it so this man could think about what he just said. I wonder if you've ever done that. Have you ever said something and only 2 minutes later thought, oh, I wish I hadn't said that. I mean, I think about this poor man. I think ever, from the moment those words came out of his mouth, he's thinking, can I just put them back in? I mean, the multitude has perhaps been quietened and Jesus answers with a question and then now launches into this statement and says, take heed, beware of covetousness. And he begins to unfold a parable and he talks to him, he exposes the foolishness of what this man has said and what this man's heart is thinking and what he's imagining and what's going on. He exposes the foolishness by giving us a parable to help us with our understanding. And really the first thing that comes to our understanding here with this thought of him exposing foolishness is we must watch and take care and guard against greed. And brethren, this is something that God's people need to know. I'm sure we would all agree tonight that thou shalt not commit adultery. I'm sure we would agree thou shalt have no other gods before the one true God. But greed, particularly in our Western society, is not something we think we do all that bad. And maybe if we have a little bit of greed in our heart, we think, well, it's cultural, isn't it? It's normal. I'm no more greedy than anyone else. You see, I wasn't saying, Lord, tell my brother to give me all the inheritance. I was just saying, tell him to give me what I think is mine. And you see, a greedy heart has less to do with money than it has to do with an attitude that says, I think I deserve something. But praise the Lord tonight, really, if we're honest, we don't deserve anything. We're just blessed to have the grace of God. And you see, the Lord Jesus says, take heed. Beware of covetousness. Watch your heart. Examine it. Look into it and see what the Bible would say. You see, one of the problems with greed, and I think this is on your notes in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 9, is the Bible does not say they that are rich. It says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. You see, Jesus didn't anywhere say that wealth is wrong, praise the Lord. He didn't anywhere say it's wrong to have possessions. What he said here in verse 15 is that a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of possessions. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 9 says, richness of itself is not wrong. The problem can be when someone's desire is filthy, to desire something that perhaps the Lord has not given at this point in time. And if they would follow that impure motive, that impure desire, it will lead them into many hurtful lusts. It will drown them. It will mislead them and misguide them. Now, brethren, let me just be honest with you tonight and say, if you sit here and say, no, I don't have a problem with that, I can tell you you do. Because I can guarantee you, if I offered anyone here a brand new red Ferrari in the car park, in the parking lot, sorry, I'm Australian, please forgive me. But if I offered you a brand new Ferrari and I said it's available to the first person out the door, we'd see husbands climb over wives. I mean, we see college students tackle each other in the hallway. Am I right? And so we sit here and we think, oh, no, I'm okay. But it's so subtle. And we must take heed and watch. We must be careful. You see, the foolishness of this man mentioned in the parable, and I draw your attention to it, is his self-focus, which led to his self-belief, which ultimately led to his self-destruction. See, we're a miserable bunch when we get self-focused, are we not? I think I should have this. I think I deserve this. And if I can be honest with you, I live in a free country like yours. I praise the Lord for it. But really, we're the worst of the lot in the free countries because we've grown up with much. And we somehow feel we're entitled to more. And the foolishness of this man was not that he had wealth. There was no problem with his barns being full. That was not the issue. The issue I would point your attention to is in his heart. If you notice in this parable, he uses the phrase, I or my, 11 times. I will do this. My soul. I want this. And all it reveals, and can I turn your attention here to verse number 17, the beginning, where it says, and he thought within himself. He actually never said it out loud. That's scary. You know, the Bible says we give an account for every idle word, but I think that kind of includes our thoughts. Because Jesus confronted this man's sin, and we don't have an evidence of it being spoken out loud, only that he thought within himself. Perhaps on the outside, he looked very good. He looked very Christian. Perhaps he looked the right, he played the part, he said the right things, but inside was a problem. He was focused on Him. And as he got more and more focused on Him, and again, I make an assumption tonight. I assume this perhaps was a Jewish man. As he got more and more focused on himself, he got less and less focused on God. And as he got more and more focused on himself, he began to believe more and more in himself and his ability, as if he was the one that blessed himself, and believed less and less in the mighty hand of God's blessing. And that focus led to his destruction. You see what the Lord says in verse 20, he calls him a fool. And brethren, if there's one thing I don't want to be called by God, it's a fool. That's not good. And I think on your notes you find there three truths about his character that show his foolishness. And by the way, when we talk about a fool, we're not talking about someone who has no IQ. We're talking about someone who has no spiritual discernment. Because the Bible says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. There are people much smarter than I who say that, but God calls them a fool, not on the basis of their IQ or their education or any of those things, but on the basis of their spiritual discernment or lack thereof. Thou fool. Three things that God says about him. First of all, that he was a fool, not a true success. And again, his foolishness, though in the world's eyes he may have been esteemed. Wow, what a man of wealth. I mean, tonight if, and I know Pastor Chappell wouldn't do this, but if tonight Pastor Chappell said, look, the guest speaker is not a fellow from Australia, but it's a man who has made $50 million in the last year, this place would be full. Because people want a bit of that. First of all, they hope he'll give them some. And if that doesn't work, that they'll show them how to do it. So in the world's eyes, this man would have been very successful, but unfortunately in God's eyes, he was a fool. And again, it had nothing to do with what was in his barn. It had everything to do with what was in his heart. The Lord Jesus said in verse 15, we've already read it, a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Aren't you glad that God pointed out the widow and she did not have much? She just had a mite. She just had a little, but the Lord looked upon her heart and said, wow, she has given a lot. Aren't you glad in the Old Testament that the Lord used the widow of Zarephath, who didn't have much, but her heart seemed to be right, and she trusted God by faith, and the Lord recognized that. This man was a fool, not a success. And secondly, he was a servant, not a master. One of the things we must guard against in our day is with our freedoms, we mentally get a little bit confused, and if we're not careful, we seek something that perhaps the Lord would not want us to have. You see, this man believed in his heart of hearts that he controlled his own destiny. He believed he was a free man, that he was the master of his own domain, but yet God quickly brings him to his knees in verse 20 by saying to him, listen, tonight your soul will be required of thee. And wow, how quickly that man would have gone from the dreams of self and the thoughts of a luxurious future for self to the realization that, ooh, I am but a mortal man before an almighty God. Whew, everything I have comes from Him. And I must remember that whatever the true Master has given me is because He's good, not because I'm good. Whatever I have is because God has chosen to bless me, and not because I myself are somehow smarter than the rest. You see, Solomon makes the point in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 18, yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over my labor wherein I have labored and wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun. This is also vanity. Solomon came to the point where he realized, I have worked and worked and God has given increase and increase, but what vanity this is for me to leave my labors for someone else to enjoy. And praise the Lord, I'm sure every parent here tonight, every grandparent would desire to leave something for their children, both physical and spiritual. And Solomon's point was this. He's saying, we get so consumed with this thing of, I'll be my own master, I'll be free, and we work for it, and we work for it, and in the end we realize, hang on, Someone else is going to enjoy this. What am I doing? And the point I make of this, brethren, is what and who are you accumulating for tonight? And this is where we bring stewardship back to the local church. You see, we examine the heart and then we say, out of that heart, what and who are you investing for tonight? I think it's good to invest in your retirement. I think it's good. The proverb says, a good man leaveth an inheritance for his children's children. I think these are good. But I want to ask you and challenge you tonight, are you simply leaving and accumulating for self? Or does God come into the picture? Because this man in this parable did not think of God or God's people or the cause of Christ. He thought only of himself. And the Bible would say that he was not a master, he was a servant. And then thirdly, I use this phrase, he was a pauper. I don't know if you use that word here, but he was a pauper, not a rich man. He was a poor man. And I quickly move through this in Psalm 49. The Bible says, they that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. Goes on in verse 10 to say, for he seeth that wise men die. Likewise, the fool and the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to others. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Is that not true? Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He is like the beasts that perish. I mean, that's sad and true and a little bit scary. I'm sure you have it here everywhere in Australia. Streets and cities are named after people. And men have sought their honor in that way. And appreciate what Pastor Chappell said Sunday night about the Hall of Fame footballer. And men have sought their own glory, but the Lord just brings us back to reality and reminds us. And this is where we come to our third point tonight, that Jesus explains the alternative, that true wealth lies not in this earth, but true wealth lies for those who have laid up treasures in heaven, where moth and rust doth not corrupt. And in these few 2 minutes here before I finish, let me just talk to you about this matter in Luke chapter 12. If we were to go down to verse 31, where the Lord challenged us and he gives the alternative to the man who asked the question. And he says, listen, stop seeking your own kingdom and start seeking God's kingdom. Stop being sold out to your own dreams and get sold out to God's dreams. Stop investing in your own temporal future and start investing in the kingdom of God and in an eternal future. And brethren, this is where the rubber meets the road for us tonight. As you're in the middle of this stewardship campaign, and as Pastor brings a vision for the church and something that God has laid upon his heart, and praise God for a church and a pastor that has biblical vision. And as God has brought those things, let me challenge you and ask you this question, where are you investing tonight? You see, I know most of us would like that if Pastor comes and says we need $3 million, you'd love it if someone walked in and wrote a big check. But that's not God's plan, because God is examining the heart of every person here tonight. And it might be that we have no doubt, because we serve a great God, that he could do that in one heartbeat, but that's not his plan, because he wants to examine the hearts of Lancaster Baptist Church. He wants to challenge you to invest in eternity. And I simply finish with this thought tonight and share this with you, that this whole principle boils down to nothing more than whether or not you trust God. You see, this man couldn't trust God, so he had to trust himself for his future. I'll take ease. But would you trust God enough tonight to invest in what God's plan is for this community and give it all over to him? I love that quote that I put on your notes there from Jim Elliot, where he said, he is no fool that gives up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. And brethren, as you come to this thought of stewardship, may I challenge you from the Word of God and from the very heart of Jesus himself, beware, take heed of covetousness, invest in things that will remain. Verse 34 of this passage says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I tell our church so often that if God has a man's wallet, he has the man. Because it seems to be the last thing that we offer. And I want to challenge you folks, you have done much for the glory of God's sake, but may I challenge you again tonight afresh, that you keep moving forward for God by faith, in a spirit of faith. May you invest in the things that God wants you to invest in.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I hope that your heart was drawn closer to God as a result of our time together today. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church, let me encourage you to visit lancasterbaptist.org. You'll see a tremendous amount of material there that will help you in your Christian life. And then if you'd like resources to help you on a daily basis, visit strivingtogether.com. There you'll find our newest resource, A Daily Word, 366 devotions, one a day, just to help you begin every morning with God. That's at strivingtogether.com. We'll look forward to seeing you next time on the podcast from Lancaster Baptist Church.